Well, greetings, dear friends. It's good to have you with us once again for our Wednesday night Bible classes. And as you well know, these particular Wednesday night classes are with regard to the Feast of the Lord. And we have spent the last several classes, last several months, I guess, on the Feast of Tabernacles. And we've pretty well come to the end of that, or at least we will come to the end of that today. And also today, just lay a foundation. We may deal with, after this, we may deal with the year of Jubilee, because the year of Jubilee is the end of the feasts, but it comes at the end of 49 years, and those 49 years are measured by the feast. They're sabbatical years, and so we've come to that. We have come in this study to the last 8-day Sabbath, which is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and it is during the Feast of Tabernacles that the year of Jubilee begins every 50 years. And so I want to talk today, just as an ending of the seven feasts and a beginning of the feast of, or not feast, but the year of Jubilee, I want to talk to you about life in Christ. We could call it the reality of being in Christ. We've called it by several titles here. If therefore any man be in Christ, the reality of our union with Christ. In John 14, which we have mentioned again and again and again in this series, Jesus speaks to his disciples of that union. A union into which he alone can bring you and I, the believer. And in John 14:20, Jesus says, in that day, not at that day, in that day. That day came with Pentecost. Tabernacles is about, really, it's about the reality of that day. And I'm not going to go back over all of that, but it's about the reality of that day. And right after that, the year of Jubilee, which has a lot of types and shadows in it that I would like to look at and just relate them to our life in Christ Jesus. So that's basically what I want to talk about just now, and we will be referring to that if we go ahead into the year of Jubilee. We'll be referring to that time and time again, no doubt. But today I want to look at some of these verses with regard to our life in Christ, and the shame of this is, and I've said it before, the problem here with dispensational teaching in all of its facets, about the second coming of the Lord and about certain things happening then that cannot happen now. And I'm not, because there's a whole myriad of stuff that's gathered in, and it puts it off into an unforeseeable future, in that the verses that are used were written 2,000 years ago. The end of the feast themselves came 2,000 years ago, all of that being summed up in Christ. Sweetheart, if everything of our salvation is not now, summed up in Christ, And hon, we just have no salvation. Now, there's no other way you can say that. It is our relationship to Him, and that relationship was open to Jew and Gentile, open to the whole world. It was preached in the whole known world, biblically speaking. And yet, today, dispensationalists are still looking for a day to come, a time to come, a completement to come. And yet our salvation is come. It's come in the person of Christ. It's come in the completeness of who He is. Because who He is in the believer, with nothing left out. Now, whether we comprehend, yes, living by faith is the comprehending of that and the walking in that reality while yet in these earth vessels. That's what living by faith is all about. Living by faith is not believing in a future event. Living by faith is the understanding given of God of what is now in Christ Jesus. And we live in the now by faith. Faith is not blind either, because the Spirit of God opens the eyes of our understanding. He is the very Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it is the continuous work of that Spirit in our heart and in our soul whereby we see the very present, the very real, the very, let's say the word, eternal salvation that is Christ Himself. And that is so much true that the death of this earthen vessel changes nothing. There's not something magical that happens when I die. That which is called by some magical, that which is called by yours truly miraculous, takes place through our union with Christ. New birth, spirit baptism, and the continual work of the adoption in our heart, whereby it is the Father recognizing His Son, giving that recognition to His Son, and showing to you and I all things. Not only we say all things in Christ, and that's true, I say the same thing. But when we say that, and when Paul said that, he means seeing Christ as all things. And I mean all things. Nothing left out. That's what all of these feasts are pointing to. And that again is talked about and set forth in many types and shadows with the year of Jubilee. That ended everything for Israel, and then they just started all over again. But the timing there was a sabbatical timing. And the cross is the end of all sabbatical timing. The end of the world. He appeared once in the end of the world. He appeared once as the fullness of times, T-I-M-E-S. All of those times ordained of God, all those times ordered of God, all those times foreknown of God, all those times given of God. And those times are echoed, those times are seen in the Sabbath days weekly, but then they're repeated and enlarged upon in the Sabbath days having to do with each one of the seven feasts, and ending the seventh feast is the eighth-day Sabbath, which gathers up into itself all of the Sabbaths. Yes, the weekly Sabbaths and the Sabbaths by which the feast, the holy convocations, are both started and ended. In this eighth-day Sabbath, everything is gathered. That's the Sabbath. That's the great day upon which Christ stood and presented himself as the river of life, the fountain of waters. Hallelujah. Presented himself as being that very reality. Well, all right, we've gone through all of that. But where does all of that bring us? It brings us to this union of verse 20 of chapter 14 of John. And that day you will know. And it's a knowing given of God. It's a knowing given by the Spirit of truth. It is not a knowing of natural understanding. It is not a knowing of theology based upon natural understanding and times. I mean, still trying to keep times into the picture. It ended with the cross. We're talking about a picture. The only picture that remains is the one that Christ himself is. The picture, the vision, the marach, the mirror of God. That's him. And we need not look into any other to see the fullness that shines forth in the face of Jesus Christ. So that's where we are. And that day you will know I am in my Father. He left that place once, but he returned. And at the end of this lesson, I'll be talking to you about that. He returned, but he didn't return alone. And that's how you and I are in Christ Jesus. That one body that is ever ongoing. Believers are still being placed by the Spirit into that one body, which is Christ. All right. Hebrews 9:24. Just a few verses I want to talk with you about in this particular lesson. No doubt we'll look at them many times to come. Hebrews 9:24. And here, of course, the Hebrew writer is focused upon Christ, our great high priest. But sweetheart, you just remember this. The one who is our great high priest is also the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the great priest king. And the one who is the great priest king, the one who is the great high priest and the great King of kings and Lord of lords is, darling, the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne, making the altar and the throne one. And one day we'll be talking about that because it has a tremendous government to it. When in our hearts, in our souls, the altar and the throne are gathered together in one. That's already so. But I mean in our hearts, in our understanding, in our comprehension, when both the altar and the throne. Have you ever realized that behind the veil, under the old economy, behind the veil, the altar and the throne comes together in the Ark of the Covenant? You thought about that? Well, we'll think about that together at some point in time, because it's really bared upon my heart in the last, two or three months. The altar and the throne. Well, they're gathered up in the person of Christ, as is everything else gathered up in the person of Christ. The altar being the cross. And we know the cross was totally gathered up in Christ. Only one has ever really died the death of the cross, and that's Christ himself. Now, he gathered together all men and all of that. But he did that into himself. So I'm not going any further with it. We need to get on with this. But it is a tremendous reality set forth in the heavens. That's true. And it's set forth in the Lamb of God. But who is that Lamb of God? John already has announced that. Behold, the Lamb of God. And that was the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, tremendous things, tremendous reality in Christ, hon. And that reality is right now. Right now. It is sealed. It is signed in a covenant. And it is now. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. Hebrews 9:14, looking at Christ as the great high priest. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered. The old high priest did. Time and time and time again. The order of Aaron. Time and time again. I need to keep my mind on what I want to say here. Aaron. For Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now, not one day yet to come. Now, to appear in the presence of God for us. That is not the appearing of many, it is the appearing of one in whom many have been brought to glory. He is not there alone, but he is there only. Can you hear that? Well, we're going to read some more verses here. He is not there alone. He is not there empty. But he is there only. For we have no life but Christ. And we're no one's body but his body. We are the accepted in the beloved, and no other way, no other place, no other way, period. No other way, no other truth, no other life, none. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And here's one of the verses where he brings us in himself and presents us in himself. That's an ever ongoing thing because there's believers being added to Christ continually. And they don't know anything about it. Nobody tells them anything about it. It's all that, you know, your sins are all forgiven. Well, that's all well and good. But there's so much more to our salvation than that. Our salvation is not based upon sin, and it's not even based upon the eradication of it. So much more, hon. This plan, this purpose of God in Christ was purposed, planned, and chosen of God before the foundation of the world, before the creation of the earth, before the creation of a soul, of man. But it is made manifest only in Christ and nowhere else. That's our salvation. Where he has entered. Not in places made by hands. Read when you can. Exodus 15:17. That's the place. It was typed. Great type and shadow of that in Solomon and his temple. But Jesus said, a greater than Solomon has come, and a greater than the temple is here. And he's pointing to himself. We have come to that in Christ Jesus. But you'll notice that there, in that place, in that reality, thou shalt bring them in. Hallelujah. Thou shalt bring them in. That's where everything is headed. That's where everything was going. Even their trip in the natural, their trip in the flesh was a type and shadow of that. But we're not a type and shadow of anything. Christ isn't a type and shadow and a pattern of something yet to come either. We have come to that place, to that reality in Christ Jesus. And every born again believer is there now. Most as ignorant as a fence post concerning that. But nonetheless, the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, is not ignorant. The Spirit of God, whose work salvation is in the very person of Christ, is not ignorant. And he has brought us to this glorious reality of our union with Christ, of which Jesus is speaking here, and of which Paul does nothing but speak in every one of his epistles. You will know that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now think with me, darling. What in the creation of God, in the new creation of God, in the economy, what in eternal reality could be greater than that? You will know I in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. If that is not the reality of the gospel, the true gospel given of God in the person of his Son, then what is the gospel? And if it's not the absolute reality of that union, then is it even a gospel at all? I mean, is there good news beyond that? Greater than that? For our soul? We haven't been birthed and left out in the wilderness somewhere and God send us a letter and say, well, you're born again now, do the best you can. Here's 10 points that you can follow. Now, I don't want to get like that, but sweetheart, I'm just about fed up with the preaching of something that is not Christ. It's hurting more than it's healing. And just keep rolling something off into the future when with God, don't we understand Jesus says, I'm the beginning and I am the end? Come on, darling. The beginning is not past and the end is not yet to come. That's who He is. And He's in that in me, and He's in that in you. He is that if He's that, if there's anything to it at all. And there's much to it. He's the fullness of the much. I don't care how we come at it, honey. If we do it in the Scriptures, it's Christ. Paul's greatest desire, and I think everyone who is seeing the Lord has that same desire. That this understanding would permeate the body of Christ and all who are brought into that body. That this understanding and that we not, in our understanding, as it were, fall short of the glory of God. For He has brought many sons unto glory. And verse 24 is talking about that. Not in types and shadows, not in the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear. In the presence of God for us. The word for there does not simply mean, you know, it isn't talking about we're one place and He's another, or He's doing that because one day we'll be. That isn't what the word for means in the Bible. Time and time again we've said that. And yet, it is not the many appearing, it is the one appearing. In the presence of the Father, on the behalf of all who are in Him, who He is presenting to His Father. Surely, we can pick up on that reality by reading John 17. That starts with Christ returning to that glory. Now that's a return. That's a return. Hallelujah to God. That is a return. And then look what He says about those whom the Father hath given Him. Because all that is in Christ hath been given to Him of the Father. Still given to Him of the Father. Still. Because none are there except they be drawn by the Spirit of God. Placed by the Spirit of God. If we expect the Spirit of God to draw somebody to something, then why don't we just preach the truth and let Him draw them to the truth? As the truth is in Christ, because no one can come but the Spirit of God draw them anyway. I didn't, you didn't, and nobody else will. It's a work of the Spirit, darling. Yes, we are laborers together with Him. But my Lord, not against Him. We need to think about these things, particularly we who take the position, and I trust one given of the Lord, but we take the position of preaching the gospel. Lord, help us to do it in the face of the one whose gospel it is. And that's what we attempt to do here. In this place, out from this place, either by personally going out or by sending that word out as we're doing right now to you and to all whom the Lord shall direct to this website or to this channel, wherever you're watching us at this time. Accepted in the Beloved. Remember, I'm talking, and you'll find I've talked about every one of these verses in relation to one of the feasts. Every one of these verses in relation to one of the feasts. Because those feasts are fulfilled in Christ, and so is these verses fulfilled in Christ. And this one is a tremendous thing. A tremendous thing. And I'm not going on with it because it brings into it the end of the world at the cross. It brings into it His appearing to those who are in Him, looking for Him. In the heavens. Out from the heavens. Why not? That's where we are in Him. We look for Him where He is. He who is the sum total of the second, because He took away the first. So He who is the sum total of the second, He who is the substance of the second, appears in the second. He appeared to take away the first. He appears in the second to establish the second in Himself. And that's where we are. You can read that in Hebrews 10, just the next chapter over. We've read it again. We've been reading it in all of these feasts. We have read that and pointed to that. And in this little summing up session, I just wanted to gather those up together. So, reading again, because it's important you look at it. For Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands. Isn't that something? He's not entered into church buildings. They're all made with hands. Oh, we can enter in. We can go out and go and come. And this is one right here I'm sitting in. Well, I'm not derogatory against places where we come and where we gather. I'd personally rather be in a building than under one of those shade trees out there. It's hot today. And if it's not hot, it's snowing. But we're here for the time, but we don't go and come in Christ. He's not entered in to holy places. Now, I know He's directly talking about the Holy of Holies of both the tabernacle and the Temple of Solomon. I know that. But sometimes I think that Christians look at buildings sitting on a street corner or in the middle of the block or wherever you might find it. You find this one kind of up on a mountain out in the country. He's not entered in there. No. Made with hands, which are figures of the true. There's a lot of people that call church buildings the house of God. They really think that they are. They really do believe it. You know, don't chew gum in the house of the Lord. Or, you know, don't, I won't go down that line. But they do in the house of God, in the house of God. Honey, in Christ, we not only dwell in the house of God, but through our union with Him, we are the house of God because He lives in us by His Spirit. Whose house we are. Paul says Moses was faithful as a servant in his own house, speaking of the tabernacle, speaking of Israel in the flesh, but then goes on to say, but Christ, the Son, in His own house, whose house you are. And we need to understand that even in that relationship with Him, the one who builds the house is always greater than the house. What a glorious union, huh? This is what the feast are talking about. This is what is fulfilled in Christ. That's why it rather upsets me when someone, maybe who has spent years in Bible learning and Bible theology, is still looking for one of these or some part of these feasts to be fulfilled. I think the problem is many believe that these feasts are fulfilled and are to be fulfilled in the church, fulfilled in the body, fulfilled in you and me. But they're not. They're fulfilled in Christ who dwells in you and in me. They're fulfilled in Christ in whom we dwell. They're fulfilled in Christ. In whom all fullness dwells. You understand that? Because they look for people. They look at people and say, well, it doesn't look like that to me. Well, you look at Israel, it didn't look like that to God either, because he was looking at his son. He's always been looking at his son. Now, that doesn't give me any excuse to live my own soul life. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relating to God looking at his son. He looks at his son because I'm dead. Let me read you something. This is my next verse anyway. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We probably should have read Ephesians first, but that's all right. Colossians chapter 3. Paul is talking about this very thing that he says in this first sentence. He's talking about this very thing in Colossians chapter 2. Really, he is. But we haven't time to read chapter 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, and that's not a question, that's a statement. It is usually, in many versions, it's written, since then, or seeing then. And that sounds a little more like Paul anyway. Seeing then that ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I found that the term above comes to its best definition in the person of Christ himself, who told the Jews, I am from above. You are from beneath. He's the above. High, exalted, above all things, all principalities, all powers, on and on. Since then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And we're going to find something else in a moment. Remember what I just read. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. And we're not describing things on earth right now, because here's the point of that statement. For you are dead. Certainly as to all of that and any of that, you are dead. And your life is hid in Christ with our end. Jesus says in John 17, just hold on. Jesus says in John 17, from verse 21 on through the end of that chapter, in one of those verses, he says, Father, I would that those whom thou hast given to me be with me where I am. Where is he? You will know I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They may be with me where I am. This was before the cross, hon. This was what he was looking at. I would to the Lord that you and I would learn to look to the purpose, to the goal of what we're preaching. Listen to his words, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou givest me before the world was. Blessed be the Lamb of God. The one he keeps talking about there, that they may be one, they may be one, they may be perfect in one. Seeing them as one body, one house. Christ himself, the one of his household. The one who liveth in his own body. The one life of his body. The one resurrection of his body. The one Lord. The one baptism, the one expectation in all of its forms. My, my. For you are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. How shall we ever see it? Not by looking at ourselves. Not by looking at ourselves. And this is no excuse for you and I. I'm not saying, so you can do this. No. You know better than that. But just not by looking at ourselves. I'm not the glory of that body. You and I are the body of that glory. Why should we look at ourselves in trying to find glory? You understand? Where's my life? For you are dead, your life is hidden with Christ, hidden in Christ, in God. But he appears to those that look for him. That's in Hebrews 9:24 through the end of that chapter. Just four or five verses there. To those that look for him, he shall appear. King James says second time. Time is not found there. It's talking about the second that he establishes through taking away the first. The Lord from heaven himself. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I've often said of this verse, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear. And that word has to do with being revealed and made manifest. There's two Greek words that come together in that word, appear. Apokalypsis and phanero. One to discover. The other is the manifestation of that which is discovered. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But back to the verse here. When he who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory, in his glory. Why? Because that's where you are. Hath brought many sons unto glory. Where is that? I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, when he appears, when he is revealed of the Father, revealed by the Spirit of God, there is an understanding that you are in me. You will know you are in me, and I am in you. And that's where that understanding comes from. You shall appear also. And I used to say, I'd say, well, it means that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed in you of the Father, when he truly appears in the Spirit, you'll know that you're where he is. And you'll know where you are in him. And that is true. But the word appear is used here. That is a glorious word, hon. That's a glorious word. You will see yourself as you've never possibly seen yourself before. And you will see it is not I. It is not me. It is Christ who liveth in me. What a wonderful thing. What a glorious realization. And it is ever, and it is ongoing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the God, to the Lamb of God, who has redeemed us into such a place, into such a reality. Life in Christ. Life in Christ. That's what we're talking about. That's what all of these feasts point to. That's why Jubilee is located where it is. That's why it's not there every year. It is rather a paramount thing. I mean, everything focuses upon that 50th year. Great deal of numerology, biblical numerology, that's tied up in this. But it all points to Christ. The numerology of it does. All points to Christ. All the sevens and seven times seven and the 49. And then the morrow after the Sabbath. My. What a glorious thing. Ephesians 1. This has been the view of the Father from the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven. The word all there doesn't mean a whole bunch. It means the sum total and allness of. The whole of. The whole of. You want to count blessings? You'll have to count them according to the fullness of Christ. Because they're not yours by number, they're yours by fullness of Him. You need to get a hold of that. You need to get a hold of that. In heaven. That's the way this should be interpreted. That's the way it is actually written in the original. In heaven. in Christ. My word. Now, I didn't write that, fortunately for everybody. I didn't write that. That's how it's written. In heaven. No wonder Paul says, set your affection on things above. Why? Because that's where you are. In Christ Jesus. And all of this was according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Yeah, accepted in the beloved. The only way we're standing there. And that by the work of the cross and the work of Christ and all of that. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, brought many sons unto glory. Wherein his grace, he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have, and it goes on, in whom, and it just keeps on going. In whom, darling? In whom we live and move and have our being, but you see, that's not about us. Jesus says, because I live, you shall live also. Why? Because he lives in you. Our being, if any man have being in Christ, the new creation. In Christ Jesus. In whom there is no Jew, nor Gentile, nor bond, nor free, nor any such thing. But Christ all and in all. Hallelujah, honey. How? How do so many in the church world miss this? I'll tell you how. They just move it to the future. Just that easy. Just that simple. Just that pitiful. Just move it to the future. All these things will be. It was organized in the mind and heart of God, determined by covenant before there was a world. But it is now come in Christ. That's why he came into the world. Ephesians, and I'll close with this. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. And this would have been enough if I had read Matthew or Mark or Luke. God. Hebrews 9:24, and then said, let's turn here. But I wanted to look at these other verses because they're all of this. Ephesians 2. And he first reminds them of their previous condition. And then verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith wherewith, for his great love wherewith. Who do you think that love might be wherewith he loved us? And where do you think that might be made manifest other than the cross? Wherewith, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us as one body with Christ. One body, one house, one with Christ. And not only quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, that's a parenthetical statement, hath raised, the word us has been added, but those that he hath quickened, hath raised up together. That's certainly not off of the face of the earth. Speaking of raised up out from among the dead by the one who is the resurrection. But look at this. Remember when I said, where Christ setteth? Where Christ setteth, set your affection where Christ setteth? Look at this. And made us set as one. Those who are in him, one body, in heaven, in Christ. He who appears in the presence of God for us who are in him is the same one who appears to us, that we may know him in whom we dwell. And where we dwell in him. Which is a work. Paul says that over in 2 Corinthians 3:18. The last thing he says, proper translation is, this is the work of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Life in Christ is what we want to talk about in our upcoming sessions related to the year of Jubilee. May the Lord richly bless you. It's been good to be with you today. And thank you for being with us. Thank you. And thank you, all of you, who help us. Who help us. Not just in maintaining the place where we are, but help us in the outreach from here of this gospel throughout the body of Christ around the world. Thank you for your support for CMI. And may the Lord richly bless you for it. Whatever we can do for you, whatever ministry, whatever way we can help you, please do not hesitate to let us know, and feel free to communicate with us personally in whatever matter, whatever manner that you can. Write a letter, send an email, make a phone call. Come and see us. You're always welcome. All right, we'll end here. The Lord bless you.